Hello, everybody, and welcome to BuzzRadio.Buzz, and I'm Lindsay Duff, your hostess with the mostess. And I have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Siobhan Wilcox, and she's a beautiful Irish woman.
Thank you, Lindsay.
You're welcome. And I want to introduce her because she's a very special person. She's a master intuitive. She's a best-selling author, and she's also an energetic alchemist. So she's magical. So today I wanted to talk about why you do what you do and what inspired you, what made you feel so passionate that you went in the direction that you went.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to talk about love too a little bit.
Okay. Well, okay. I love love.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, Lindsay, this is really what I was born remembering. So since I was six, I was touching people to heal them with my hands and saying, sit down, I can take rid of your headache. And I just had a way of connecting intuitively and with healing that was not spoken about in my home, but just seemed to be a complete remembering in my cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my childhood. And then, of course, I hit teenage years and I forgot about all that because everybody gets everything in their teenage years.
I do.
Yeah.
It's all about one thing.
Exactly. Partying. And then I was given a book by my beloved brother on palmistry and tarot. And he said to me, you know, I think you may be interested in this. And I was 20. And I said, whoa, what's this? Of course, I came from a long line of teachers. So if you wanted to know something, you went to college and studied it.
Yeah.
So I went off and I found training that I could take in palmistry and I found training that I could take in tarot. And I suddenly realized that all of those years before when I was taking pain out of people's bodies, that there was actually something really in that for me. And I started to like touch people and get all these messages and information downloads. And of course, I'd know context for that because I was only like 19, 20.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody could see that it was a gift. So I started to study deeply and travel around the world and study with master teachers. I was always the youngest person there, and then it was just like it just kept growing and growing until this is all I could do.
All right, so yeah. You obviously felt passionate, right?
Totally.
So how did the passion show up for you?
Well, at first, of course, passion showed up as illness.
Yes.
So when I was 24, I suffered from stress burnout. I thought it was a complete disaster because I'd gone from being an athlete to not being able to walk up the stairs. But what I realized was that it was the greatest gift that I'd ever been given. Because on the discovery of healing my body and my mind, and it was an illness that of negativity that took over my mind that created the illness in my body.
Of course, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah. Then I realized that, hang on a sec, you've got something bigger to teach here. So by the age of 27, I trained to be a trainer, a corporate trainer. I trained to be an educator. And I went back by 28, I was working in corporate businesses with managing directors and their staff, helping them with personal development and stress management and making incredible changes to people's lives. And of course, using my intuition, right?
Right.
But I came in with a business suit on and my briefcase and I spoke science and medicine and they listened. And I had the track record of being the executive because I became an executive at a young age and burning out from executive stress. And then going back into companies and saying, this is what I don't want you to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really became very passionate for me. And most of this work at that time was in Ireland. I worked a lot with very, like the Bank of Ireland were one of my biggest customers. But then I also worked with recovering heroin addicts. I worked with gypsies, people that were suffering from mental health illnesses and coming out of mental health institutions trying to get back into the mainstream life.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked a lot with special needs nonprofits. Little did I know that I'd end up living in a whole world of special needs with my children But at the time, I was working with all the aides and the teachers that worked with the special needs community. And I'd spend, you know, they come in and say 2 days with them, figuring out systems that could help them manage their stress. And so that was a gift for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think that we have to go through trauma and breakdown or a contrast to actually get to the somewhere that is more passionate for us and more inspired?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think that was my contract.
Yes.
Because it was the only thing I knew to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it hadn't happened that way for me, I would have stayed in the job I was in. I would have worked my way up a ladder and I would never have moved. So it's literally the rug got completely taken from underneath me,
mm-hmm.
so that I had no other option but to spend 6 months in bed,
right,
in recovery, and then say, right, well, now you can reinvent yourself because you've nothing to go back to. So what would you like this moment from forward to be? But a lot of the work I do with people is I work to help them now get out of the thought that sacrifice is actually valuable.
Yes, that's what I was wondering. Because
I really think it isn't a valuable experience. And
I have to have that.
Nope, we don't do victim when we work together. We don't do sacrifice. Yeah. It's that...
I didn't think so.
No. And that's...
I just wanted to clarify because I want the audience to not think that you have to do that to get to where you are.
No, not at all. And that I wrote a book for parents of special needs children called Thrive Now Blueprint.
Yes.
And that was based on my parenting because my oldest son, he's a genius, but he's on the autism spectrum and he has a lot of mental health challenges with major depression and, you know, just a lot of challenges in his life. And so everyone kept saying to me everywhere I went, how are you so relaxed? How are you keep smiling? How do you do this all the time? And it became obvious because principals were saying it to me and teachers and everyone was saying, what's your secret? Are you on Xanax? What are you taking? I'm not taking anything, right?
Yeah.
But I said, I have all this knowledge from before. And then everybody just kept more and more asking. I said, well, maybe I should just write that down.
Yeah.
And then I did.
And then you have the book.
Now I have a book. Yeah. And it's been, you know, I've worked with the Special Olympics on it. I've done a campaign for them in Europe.
So Thrive Now Blueprint is the name of the book,
mm-hmm.
by Siobhan Wilcox. Self-care and success strategies for parents of special needs children. So how do you see... Siobhan, I know that your work is all love-based because mm-hmm. I know you.
Yeah.
And you and I have worked together.
Yeah.
And I just want to know how you feel love fits into what you do and how you use that part of yourself to help others. I really do think that there's a conversation around the word love that's very linear and doesn't have a lot of depth. And it's gotten to the point where it's more like an internet thing or it's, you know, broken hearts or this or that or something that's very, it's not that positive anymore. And love is such an amazing experience to me. It feels like everything that we do is about love. So I want to get your point of view and what you think about that.
Well, thank you for asking that, Lindsay, because it's a really key piece of everything that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
I love to quote the Dalai Lama at this moment because I think he's one of the most incredible living masters that we have on our planet.
I agree.
And he uses a phrase, which is to be selfish in how we look after ourselves. Yes?
Exactly.
It's self-love. It's like selfish in self-care. Okay. So for me, what I teach is we need to love ourselves deeply.
Yes.
And that's really the only relationship that we should be intending to. We can, you know, obviously we have to show love towards those around us and our family and our communities, But if we haven't spent the time to deeply love ourselves and deeply nurture ourselves and be wisely selfish, as the Dalai Lama says, then we're in a position where we feel like we're always emptying the vessel, and then we burn out.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
So
it's crucial.
Yeah, I teach my parents when they've got special needs children, and that's only a small percentage of the work I do, because I work a lot with business women and men and people that are really in a place where they need some deeper support.
Mm-hmm.
But I teach
high functioning people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I teach them to fill themselves back up again.
That's amazing.
Because,
that's so needed in our
yeah,
communities.
But I see it in men where they become, how would I put this, over-responsible for their families, mm-hmm. and thinking that everything has, they have to carry everything.
Yes.
Right? And then I see it in women where they also feel that they have to overlove everybody and overgive to everybody,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, yes.
But the love is not the love that I'm talking about. It's based in an area of that love, but they've forgotten that if they don't love themselves, or they don't allow love in for themselves, then there's nothing left to give.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they end up giving is love based on exhaustion and frustration, because they have to. They
right.
feel they have to. It becomes the should, right?
Mm-hmm. Instead of,
yes,
I want to do
I
this.
I want to do this because I'm passionate about it and it's exciting.
Inspired
to me.
And passionate.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I get a lot of people coming through to me in my office where they're exhausted. Some of them are suffering from major anxiety. Some of them are just really stuck in a place and they're not sure why they're stuck in it sometimes. And they keep running the same patterns. And so I'm a disruptor of sorts.
Yes.
But I do it through love.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit with people and I assist them raise their frequency, if that's not too woo-woo to say. But it's
no,
like,
it isn't at all. It's,
yeah.
It's kind of a, I feel the word frequency and energy has become more of a common language.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand it, just, you know, you can go on the internet, find out a lot about it.
For me, our frequency is to do primarily with our unconscious mind and our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have, people are running a lot of negativity, and I reflect to people a lot on the languaging they use when they're communicating with me in a session, and I reflect that back to them. So what I'm hearing you say is this, this, and this. I said, but whose language is that? Because that isn't actually your original languaging. Who did you adopt that from?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go in and I said, oh, you know what? I'm seeing you at 6 and this conversation is happening. Do you remember that conversation? And they'll go, oh, yes, that was my father. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's where this conversation we're currently having with you now at a 56-year-old is coming from. So 50 years, you programmed yourself into a belief system.
Right.
That was not yours.
Thought
in the
belief,
first
right,
part.
A belief system is a thought we keep thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we've taken it on as if it's ours, but it comes from our family, our culture, our media.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from outside of ourselves.
Right.
And of course, when we're growing up as small children, we take everything in from outside of
absolutely,
ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
That's the
building
world.
Our vocabulary, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then energy is, you know, everything is energy.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's energy in, energy out.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to deal with, you know, what we put out and what we bring in. And it's really, again, about self-care and self-love.
Yeah.
You know, because if we don't pay attention to that, we end up exhausted and a lot of people get depressed and,
yeah,
you know, a lot of things, it becomes a spiral, I think. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people become depressed, and that was very disturbing to me when I started to look at the statistics of that, the increase in
mm-hmm.
antidepressants and anxiety medication, particularly among mothers.
Yeah.
And then I started to see the increase in that in teenagers, and then I started to see the increase in that in young children. So, you know, we're in an epidemic where anxiety and depression are becoming a normal experience for our planet.
Yeah.
And so it's not. And I know this because my son suffers from depression. and he has a lot of anxiety. So I work with him frequently on his thoughts. But as the mother, of course, I need to hand that off to somebody else to do the main work with him, because the mom can't get in there, because then we're mixing our roles up. Yeah. You know, therapist slash mom, not a good mix.
Yeah. So. Codependency.
I always think it's kind of, I say this to my, to the, all of the therapists that work with my son. I said, it's God's big joke that people can come to me and within like 5 or 6 sessions go away with that anxiety. And there's my son, who I live with every day, and he has amazing anxiety, bless him. I'm like, God is laughing at me somewhere.
Yeah, like,
that is always more to learn, right?
Yes. So can you talk a little bit about your spiritual programs that you're doing now? You have several, I see, spiritual programs and workshops. One is called Reclaim Your Magic for 2015. And the dates are September 27th, October 25th, December 6th in Encinitas, California.
Yeah.
And then if you want to tell us what that is.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this
work.
Yes,
this looks very
intriguing. Yeah, a lot of the people that have been coming to me, I'm beginning to see a pattern. Once we get through the layers of the negativity, then we're into reclaiming the magic, as I've been calling it.
That's great.
And so basically, it's pulling forth the memories within your past lives. And I will work in the Akashic Records room, and which is where all the past lives are stored.
Can we just go back just for a second and just explain Akashic Records for the audience?
Yes. So the Akashic Records room, and it has been my awareness, is where all of the records of all of the previous existences you've ever had are stored, and all of the previous lessons you've ever had are recorded. And it literally looks, when I work with people, like a big library room.
Yeah.
And we can go in and take books down off the shelf and read through the books and see where the lessons are complete, and take a book and put it back up. So what I've been seeing more and more in my clients when they're coming in is they literally are sitting there and they have like a magic book floating around in their energetic field. And I'm like, oh, so we're working on magic today, or a treasure box. Or one lady came in and had a scepter and a crown.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. We're reclaiming magic. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I really like that. I mean, I'm so into magic. I think we have it everywhere, and miracles are happening all the time, but we just don't notice them.
No.
We don't see them. Most people don't even see them.
No. And I'm from a culture, being Irish.
It's kind of magical, right?
It's very magical.
Is it magically delicious?
It is. And so
I thought so.
I grew up with the sense of fairies and leprechauns, and I mean, I was raised as a Catholic and schooled by nuns. But even still, there's stuff that filters in through the culture. And you'll go down the countryside and there's a bush and everybody's tied white ribbons on the bush because it's for the fairies. And then you'll go somewhere and they're putting out treats for the fairies and at nighttime, you know, honey and toast and, you know, a little bit of beer maybe.
I love that.
So
don't you have little people too? The
leprechauns.
The leprechauns, you know, and they're in the woods and the, or the, what do they call them? The wood nymphs and the divas? And
yeah, there's devas, there's fairies. Yeah. And so I grew up with that knowing, in a sense, right? So when magic started to come to me, I realized that I'd actually been using magic all my life, but I never saw that that's what it was called.
Yeah, that's really, really profound, isn't it? When you, something like that happens.
But when I wanted to get something or manifest something, it wasn't hard for me to do. If I love Queen. I'm showing my age now, but I love Queen, and I really wanted to go see them play live. And I couldn't afford the tickets. And all my girlfriends were going, and I was really kind of like, okay, girls, how do I get a ticket? And one of my girlfriends said, why don't you win one? I said, great plan. I can win a ticket. So you had to be the 10th caller on the radio show. They played 10 songs to you, snippets. You had to name the 10 songs and then win the prize. I got on twice as the 10th caller.
Wow.
I got the first time I only got 6 songs. The second time I got the 10 songs.
Oh, so
and
you
I
did
won
it.
Won the prize, which was the VIP helicopter ride with the celebrities in the castle and the limousine home, all expenses paid.
Oh, my goodness. Full. Good for
so
you.
So I'm thinking, I'm really good at winning things, right? Then I'd go somewhere and I'd say they'd be doing a raffle. And I think to myself, I think I'd like to have a prize. Then they'd pull my number instantly. I go, oh my God, did I just create that? This just kept happening.
Well, that's pretty nice.
So this has been my way of making magic. And I've been doing it since I was a kid, but mm-hmm. I thought everybody could do it.
Yes.
It wasn't until I started to look around and think, people aren't doing this.
No. This is a special talent you
this
have.
This is a special gift yes. God gave me was magic.
It's called manifestation too. Yes. I mean, it's like when we think, if we think a thought and we believe what we're thinking, mm-hmm. then it can be manifest.
Yeah.
And it can be manifest right away.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's a castle or a button. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that concept. And, you know, I've had some good luck with that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had times when I didn't do so well.
Uh-huh.
So I think we do have contrast. We have our ups and downs.
Yeah.
But I think that what you're saying is just amazing because everybody wants magic in their life.
Yeah. And it's been
so we now we know where to go.
Exactly. Come on
Siobhan
down.
Siobhan Wilcox.
I'm the magic lady.
This is a magic lady. There we go.
And what I'm now realizing is, you know, we all have magic.
Mm-hmm.
We've all used magic before in different times. And we all have the ability to access the magic. It's just how we choose to do that. It can be different for different people.
So I have a question. Could you give an example to our listening audience mm-hmm. of a way that you could create magic?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a short little, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if that's possible, but it seems to me like it might be. Is it?
Well, I don't think it's really possible straight away. Let me explain why. The majority of people, this is what I teach. This mm-hmm. is what I'm going to be doing my series of workshops on.
Yeah.
The majority of people are living in a frequency, we'll use that word again, which is very much stuck in fear, lack, and limitation.
So it's also vibration.
Yeah.
Frequency, vibration is the
yes.
same.
Yeah.
So some people, I think, are familiar with the word vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than frequency.
Right.
Yeah. Just so the audience understands that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what I teach is how to shift out of what I would call a 3D consciousness and move into a 5D consciousness.
Okay.
And 5D is where magic is available
mm-hmm.
and available when we need it and want it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask and it is given.
Yes, exactly. That's 5D consciousness. Mm-hmm. So when people come to the workshop, the first module we're working on is money magic. Because that's usually the thing that restrains people the most on our
yeah.
planet. And we're going to focus on where your consciousness currently is in mm-hmm. that conversation. And then how do we shift it from where it is now to where you wish it to be?
So this is the magic. The magic is take this workshop. Honestly, I'm serious.
Well, people will come to me for a session. I had one woman, she was amazing. She came to me for a session and she wanted a particular thing to happen. And she'd like her partner to do a particular thing, just to show up, right?
Yeah.
In a very specific way. So we talked about this and she spent an hour with me. And she called me later and she said, OMG, Siobhan. I went home, I opened the door and he handed me the ticket for what we were talking about in our session. And he said, I got inspired and I just booked it for us.
Oh,
and she said, now
so...
I wish I'd asked for like a villa in Spain or the Algarve or something. She said, because literally
a new house.
In the time you spoke the words out of your mouth, the message went up, it got energized to magic. It went across to my partner. It went down into his psyche. He typed it into the computer. He press print, and we packed our bags and we went the next day.
That
he said,
amazing.
Like that, she was sitting there going,
That is so awesome.
That's magic.
Right? Yes, it is magic.
And so when you start to turn on that frequency for yourself, it happens like that. It's a magnetism
mm-hmm,
energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a law of attraction.
Yeah. And when we, part of what I like to do when I work with people, and we'll be looking at this in this series of workshops, and also I'm doing a 3-day retreat, which is a deep dive in January 2016.
So that is Reclaim Your Magic, the same title.
Same title, yeah.
2016, and that's January 21st to the 23rd.
Yes.
In Sedona, Arizona, one of my favorite transformational places on the planet.
Yes.
If you go there, you will get transformed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a 4-star accommodations at the Sedona Rouge, a hotel and spa.
Yes.
And you're partnering with Dr. Dolores Fazzino.
Fazzino. Yes. Dr. D, as I call her.
Dr. D.
Yes. She's brilliant. She's a master healer. She has her doctorate in nursing. And she's gone out to John of God in Brazil, who is one of the most proclaimed healers on the planet.
Yeah.
And she runs retreats to bring people out to him now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
She's been basically trained by watching him in action. And she also has one of his crystal beds that she was allowed to bring back from Brazil to Encinitas.
Nice.
We've known each other for 11 years.
You and Dolores?
Yes, Dolores.
Dr. Fazzino.
And Dr. Fazzino. And she's an amazing master. And she does so much in powerful healing with people. And I do a lot of the energy work with people. She does the more of the hands-on, and I do the energy. So between us, we just have this great flow.
Yeah.
And so we've decided to team up on this magic series so that we can, like, play together. For us,
playing together. Yes, of course. I love that part, playful stuff.
Yeah.
And there's always, I think that when we work with certain individuals, there's always that love connection, that connection of... you know, well, I've known you for many lifetimes, and I'm here. We're meeting up again because we have an agreement in this life to further knowledge and our understanding of what needs to be expanded in this world that we're currently in. So I think that is so amazing that happens.
And that's, Lindsay, I know we met sitting beside each other at an event, which was really fun.
Yes.
Well, myself and Dolores met sitting beside each other at another event.
Really?
Yes. And we sat down beside each other and we looked at each other and I said, I know you.
Yeah.
And she sat and looked at me and she goes, I know you too. And then we tried to figure out where we knew each other from. And within a couple of seconds, we realized this is... first time on this planet, but we've known each other before. And we just kind of became best friends from that moment. And then we kept turning up at things together without knowing the other was going, because we had so many similar leanings towards spirituality and expanded consciousness. And so we work very naturally together.
That's awesome.
Which is
so
great.
I'm sure it'll be an exciting and an amazing and magical workshop.
Yeah. The retreat will be the deep dive. You know, the series is the introduction. It kind of gets the juices flowing and it gets you into the consciousness of what we're really here to create. And then it's like we're going to put you in the melting pot in a good way in the retreat, because that's 3 days, full days of playing and energizing. And I'll be teaching yoga. I do a lot of chant work. We'll be doing chanting.
Tell me a little bit about space clearing.
This naturally grew from the work that I do with individuals.
Uh-huh.
Because when we're getting people cleared up energetically, you need to clear up your environment too. Right?
I do the same kind of work too, so I totally understand that. I love it.
And, you know, one of the things that I'm really good at is I'm very clairvoyant. I mean, all the clairs are turned on for me, but I'm really... visually clairvoyant. So when I go into an environment, I can see if there's any, what I would call earthbound spirits, some people call them ghosts, if there are any of those are stuck in your home. Mm-hmm. I also see then if there's any Klingons or Lucky Loos or negative thought forms is another word for them.
Yeah.
In an environment, and I clear them up too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have, you know, I've been invited into homes and a family couldn't sleep very well and their baby kept waking up all the time. And when I went into the bedroom, I said, oh, your furniture has people.
Yeah.
I said, where did you buy your furniture? And they said, oh, we got it shipped from Paris. And it's like, 1800s. And I said, mm-hmm. And it came with people. And they're like, oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Yes. And, it, you know, it's because inanimate objects are energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does. I've seen that too. I mean, I can feel when there's stuff like that. So I know what you mean. It's mm-hmm. true. I mean, mm-hmm. it really, it sounds kind of
weird,
strange, and because it is a little strange.
Yes.
Because it, and it does really affect the people that it's, you know, in their home.
Yeah. It affects how you sleep.
It totally.
And it can affect your relationships in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things that I've noticed as well is it affects your water. So if you've got a lot of what I would call earthbound spirits in your home, you can have a lot of leaks.
Mm-hmm.
So this house that I went to, they had all the trouble with their furniture. I walked in and a whole wall was opened up. I said, what happened? They said, oh, we keep getting leaks. This is the fourth time. And I said, uh-huh, I know what's going on in here.
Yeah.
They said, we can't even tell the insurance anymore because we keep claiming and claiming. Now we're just fixing it up ourselves. We got the blowers. We know what we're doing. I'm like, yeah, you don't really know what you're doing. This won't happen again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's awesome.
Because you got to get in there and you've got to reclaim your furniture. It's mm-hmm. your furniture.
Yes.
So I do a ceremony, which helps clear the environment of anything that isn't serving the environment or the highest good of the family.
Yes.
And then we do a reclaiming the environment mm-hmm. ceremony for the people that live there.
Yes.
And they reclaim their furniture and they reclaim whatever pieces of the house have been affected before.
Mm-hmm.
If there's vortexes that aren't working in the house, if there's portals, which are kind of like open ways between dimensions, which
yeah.
sounds maybe a little weird to some of the listeners, but it's in truth.
I totally know what that is. I've had that experience many times. Yes.
I went somewhere one time and there was an opening and I could see beings coming through it. And then they arrived and they were like really confused looking. And I said, what are you doing here? And they said, we have no idea how we got here. Where are we? And I explained to them where they were and they said, how did we get here? I said, this portal somehow is bringing you here and you're going in the wrong direction. So I had people escort them back and then I closed the portal mm-hmm. so that couldn't continue to happen because the child was constantly having nightmares and waking
yes.
up with people in their room and not feeling safe and spending the night in their parents' bed.
I've been that child.
Yeah.
I was that child many times when I was a child, when I was
yeah.
little. Lots of people coming through. Out of my closet mm-hmm. and in my out of my windows, and I don't think a lot of people knew. I knew there was some people coming. I knew they were real, but I had a hard time getting my family to understand that.
Yes.
And I didn't really know what to do with it at the time. And I've also had experiences where I walk into portals.
Mm.
So
nice. Or maybe not.
Well, no, it's been a pretty good experience.
Depends on where you
yeah,
end up.
It's been a good experience. But I know that sounds really strange, but I do think that the continuum of time, everything is happening at the same time, and it's just slices of time.
Well, it's been,
totally. Side by side.
And the veil between this world and the next and all the dimensions is very, very thin
yeah,
right now.
It is.
It's almost like gossamer. So I was lying one day in my sitting room and my son had been ill and he was on the sofa beside me. And I looked up at the ceiling because I couldn't look anywhere else. I'm lying on the sofa. And then I see these beings all staring at me through my ceiling. And it looks like they're staring down through gossamer. And I'm like, and they're discussing me, but they don't know I can see them. So I'm like, guys, I can see you up there. And then they all got really nervous, like, oh my gosh, you can see us. And they just kept moving. They were like, oh, what do we do? What do we do?
So did they look like human beings? No.
They looked like spirits passing through.
Yeah.
And I realized that I had missed, which is why my son obviously had got sick so I could see it. I'd missed a point in my own house where they were coming in. So I just kind of sealed that up.
Yeah.
And my son slept much better. Mm-hmm. You know, he was one of those kids, a bit like you, Lindsay, where he'd wake up when he was 4 and he was 5. And every night he'd be into mama and he'd be going, mama, mama, I can't sleep. So eventually I said to him, why can't you sleep? He said, well, I keep waking up and there's people staring at me, all standing around my bed.
Yes.
And it's scary. I'm like, okay, we're going to kick that in the ass. And we're going to get in there and we're going to stop that from happening.
Yes.
So I started training my son. when he was 4 and 5, how to work with Archangel Michael. The most amazing being for anything that's interrupting you in your environment.
It's for protection.
Right? Yes, he's a protector. So it was so cute. I got this picture of Archangel Michael and I put it on my son's wall. And then I put another one under his pillow. And then I taught him how to calm Archangel Michael forth. And I said, now we're going to put him on guard around your room. So you're safe. So that night, I hear the little pitter-patter of feet. And I'm like, oh God, no, it's the same time, 3 in the morning every night. And I'm so tired. And he's like coming in and he goes, Mom, the dude with the sword is in there right now, getting rid of the people with the green faces at the end of my bed. It's working. I'm going back to bed now. It's all okay.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
And back into bed he went. I'm like,
it's amazing.
Thank you, Archangel Michael, stay in there every night. And he hasn't got up again. I mean, very rarely, because that was all it took. He just got it done. And now Archangel Michael, he knows when he goes to bed, he calls him in.
Everybody wishes for a mother like you when we're children, because a lot of kids have that experience.
Yeah.
It never stopped in my life. I mean, I have that still as an adult, you know, so it doesn't really matter. But I know what it is now, so it's not a big deal.
No.
I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, I can handle this. No big deal. I know you guys are in my panties, you're everywhere.
Well, for me, I set my boundaries. I say, don't come into the shower when I'm naked. I don't come into my bathroom. That's my private place. Yeah. Just, you're not allowed to be, you're not to jump out of a closet. You're not to jump out of a press, any of that stuff. And you're really in trouble. So they've respected my boundaries because
yes,
I'm like, please do not do that.
You're very powerful. That's why they're like, I don't want to mess with Siobhan.
Don't mess with her. She will take you out.
She will. Oh, cool. So you can find the information on Space Clearings on the
Angelic Messenger. Yes. Yeah.
Website.
Yeah.
And
I do that long distance as well.
Yeah, you can do it over the phone.
Yes, I've worked in Europe a lot with people who have had issues on their land. I have a lot of clients that I work with via Skype in Canada, in England and Ireland and different places around the world and all over America.
There are no barriers.
No barriers. I love Skype. When I work with a property, we can do it via Skype, but I usually don't because I can remote view. So all I need is the address and I just will walk around the property energetically. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell people what to put in place to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's been strange. I worked one time on a property and it was actually an Native American Indian curse was on the land. And the property had been like, they were building it from scratch. And like they'd had gone through 3 builders who'd all had accidents or really bad things happen to them while on the property. And they were in the position of now the house was complete, but now they couldn't rent it and nobody was interested and they were going to lose the property. So they had 2 of them like this, and the same was happening to both properties, and they were side by side. So I came in and I worked on the properties and found out that it was a Native American Indian curse that was on the land, cleared it up, working with spirit and the devas of the land and the beings that were holding space on that land. And within a month, that property was rented, both of them. So when you get it sorted,
things happen.
It's sorted.
Yes.
You know, magic happens.
Yes.
Yeah. I think probably the thing that I'm all really being drawn to right now is supporting the children.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught workshops before on indigo children and sensitive children.
Yes.
And psychic children. And more and more, I'm starting to work with the teens and the young adults. So sometimes people hire me to communicate with their nonverbal children, and they send me photographs of them, and I communicate, and I'll type up messages, and I'll send it back to the family for the parents. Because sometimes there's things in the diet or in the environment that isn't serving the child, or something else going on, and they need to get that message through. So, you know, that telepathy, which sounds even more woo-woo than probably most of the stuff we've been talking about.
I don't know. It's all pretty, you know, outside of the box. I mean, because I'm in the same, you know, business that you're in, and I do a lot of, you know, we're very similar. We have a lot of similarities. But I would say that, it, you know, for your general listening audience, this is quite an eye-opener.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about telepathy, it's all to do with vibration and frequency. Mm-hmm. And it started when my son was in my womb, and I thought that everybody could hear their children speak to them directly. And I thought that was normal because he was my first baby. How did I know any different? And then it turns out with my second child, that was not normal. He never spoke a word. He just didn't, like, no communication whatsoever. And the first guy is the guy that had a lot of speech issues. And he's the guy who's on the autism spectrum.
Right.
And so I didn't even know he'd speech issues till my neighbor, who was a medical practitioner, came and said to me, "Siobhan, you know that your son has a very serious speech disorder, right?" I said, "No." She goes, "You're the only one who can communicate with him." And I went, "Thank you for letting me know. I didn't know. When I didn't even realize what we were doing. But if he wanted something, I knew what he wanted instantly, and I would just hand it to him."
Oh, so you guys were just...
We were just telepathically communicating.
Reading each other's minds, yeah.
And like even the other day, I mean, now he's a teenager. Even the other day we were sitting beside each other having dinner, just the two of us. And I thought to myself, oh, I need to get some salt. And he just hands me the salt.
Yeah, so he's doing the same thing. Yeah.
And then he turned around, he looked at me and he went, "How did I know what to... You wanted salt, Mom?" "Huh? How did I do that?" And I said, it was a telepathy thing. "Don't be so silly, Mom. That's not true. We don't do that." You know? And I said, "Yeah, okay. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But you handed me the salt and I had said it to you." He's like,
"Yeah, it was like deep. Like, I can't believe that, Mom.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that's a load of rubbish." Yeah. You know, teenage angst. Mom's stupid. Nothing Mom does is right. You know?
Yes, yes.
But what I've discovered is, you know, I worked with one boy who's on the spectrum and he was my neighbor. And I said to him telepathically, he'd never spoken a day in his life. I said to him telepathically, "What is it that you need me to know?" And he stopped in his tracks and he turned around, and he stared at me and he burnt what felt like a hole with a laser going through my forehead. And I said, "Okay, that's too intense. That's enough. Got it." And what I realized, he was actually sending messages to me about his diet and what needed to happen. Mm. And so I went to his mom and I said, "Now, how can I approach her when I don't know her that well and I don't want her to think I'm too woo-woo? Oh dear." So I just said, I just made some suggestions based on what he'd sent me, but I didn't say they'd come from him. Within 3 weeks, he started to speak.
Wow.
Because what they took out of his diet had been blocking his speech.
Yeah, and allergic reactions mm-hmm. to foods. Mm-hmm. That's amazing how many mm-hmm. people have that, mm-hmm. right?
So that was
causing
my...
a lot of upset in the body and the spirit. And
yeah.
Also, emotional trauma causes that too.
Yeah. And with the speech, with these special kids, some of them don't need to speak. And it really is challenging for them because they're still communicating with each other. There's a very brilliant young man, and he's 26. He's written a book and he's on the spectrum, very impacted by it. But he will type that he telepathically communicates with his other friends. They don't mm-hmm. need to verbally speak to each other. So they just speak.
They've just...
they got it going
expanded.
On.
Expanded.
Yeah. We've just been brought up in an environment where that is not a known gift.
Yeah.
Right? But just as with every... every generation, the next generation is cleverer,
yeah.
right? It's like
more
an evolutionary,
more
it's an evolutionary yep. upgrade.
Absolutely.
So this is like an evolutionary upgrade.
Mm-hmm. And people think, you know, I always feel like these children are here to teach us something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, you know, our society tags them as disabled and not, you know, not viable in our communities. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth is it's the other way around.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. And also, I mean, when you're parenting a child that's very severely challenged, it's very challenging as a parent.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't
and
imagine that. I mean,
it's exhausting. But the pieces that I like to reveal to parents is somewhere inside your child is a brilliant mind and a brilliant soul.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that is not an apparent experience right in this very moment in time, let's just take that as a given.
Yeah.
Right? So be careful of what conversations you have in front of that child. because that child is actually fully aware, even if they're not responding to you in the way that
they're hearing everything.
They're hearing and taking in everything you say to them.
Imprinting.
Yes. And so there's now more and more of these special children that are now adults writing books and expressing the world that they live in, which is very non-linear.
Yes.
And they are being heavily impacted by our environment and what we've put into our foods and our water and the chemicals. And they're very heavily impacted by our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
My son will tell me that he can feel everybody's fear in a room and that it's very overwhelming to him to go into big places where people haven't done their work.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, hanging out with you, Mom, is easy because you've done your work. And you're, when your friends come over, it's easy because they've done their work. But the majority of people I know haven't done their work. And that's out of the mouth of a babe, right?
Yes, yes.
So he's not getting that from somewhere else. What people are telling me about the book is that it's really helping them and it's changing their lives.
Okay.
Because it's giving them permission, first and foremost, to look after themselves. And I've used some of the more traditional tools that I've used with, like, you know, the recovering drug addicts, the gypsies, the bank managers. I bring you on it's a journey. We start with very basic stuff to much more spiritual stuff. And every chapter is like 10 pages long, so nobody can get overstimulated in a chapter. And I have an online toolkit I created, which has a video there, 20-minute video on one of the tools I gave in the book. Every exercise in the book is downloadable on the toolkit. So if you don't want to write in your book, you can write it out and stick the pages into your journal.
What is your website?
Well, theangelicmessenger.com. And my second website is linked to the book primarily and all the special needs work I do.
Okay.
And that's under my full name, which is SiobhanWilcox.com. And I'll have to spell that.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound like it's like, it doesn't spell like it sounds.
Not at all. It's Irish.
It is. It's Gaelic.
Gaelic.
And I mean,
Gaelic.
God is gracious, which I love my mom from dad for naming
that's
me
such
that.
Such a beautiful name.
So it's S-I-O. It's B for boy, H for Harry, A for apple, N for Nancy, Wilcox, WILCOX.com.
Cool.
So if you want to buy the book is Thrive Now Blueprint, and it's available on Amazon, and it's available on Kindle.
Okay.
And it's also Barnes & Noble, but it's basically through Amazon right
through
now.
Through Amazon.
Yes. So if you put in Thrive Now Blueprint, it'll come up.
Come up.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the workshops, Reclaim Your Magic in 2015. September 27th, October 25th, December 6th in Encinitas. Do you need to come to every one of those?
You don't, but it's advantageous if you do.
Okay.
But if you listen to this and it's already past the date on one of them,
yes,
do feel free to contact me and see if there's still availability. It's almost full as it is.
So there's that, the Reclaim Your Magic 2015. In Encinitas, California. And then the other one coming up in 2016 is Reclaim Your Magic, January 21st to 23rd in Sedona, Arizona, with Siobhan Wilcox and Dr. Dolores Fazzino.
Yeah.
So, and you can find this information on theangelicmessenger.com.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been
such
a pleasure.
Thank you. It's lovely. I'm just honored to have you here. Mm-hmm. And I have such a connection with you, and it's just so much fun hearing kind of some of your history, too. That's very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
It's been a pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening.